Song tonight. Open your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I would encourage you to use your Bible tonight. A little different type message, and I'm going somewhere with this that I will draw your attention to as we close out in just a little while. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to use a verse as a launching pad tonight and jump into a topic that I hope that will be of interest to you and of help to you. I hope the young people will listen carefully tonight. You should know what you believe, and you should know why you believe what you believe. And I think this is one of those messages that can help you nail down a matter about your belief concerning the Word of God and future events as we look forward to them as God's children. If you're able to stand in honor of God's Word, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read verse number 1, where the Bible says, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." Now, I want to speak on things that are different are not the same. Things that are different are not the same. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege to have a Bible, to have your Bible, to have your book. Speak to our hearts from it tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, that wonderful song, the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, God, that salvation came to us. You came to us. You showed us who you were, what we were, and that we needed you. And Lord, we didn't just believe about you. We believed in you. And salvation came to our hearts. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight troubled about their salvation, I pray that you'll help that person. Lord, do a good work in all of our hearts and lives. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name and amen. And I want to encourage you to keep your Bible because we're going to go to several passages tonight. Now, when you get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, there all the chapters in the Bible are great, but this is a greater great chapter in my opinion, because it records Paul's last words, and he's writing to his preacher boy in the faith, Timothy, who is now pastoring the church at Ephesus. And there is so much meat in these verses. I preached last Tuesday morning to a group of preachers in Texas out of this passage on the subject of elements of biblical preaching. And it was well received by the young preachers. I was glad to have that opportunity. I won't preach on that subject tonight. It's a tremendous passage for that. I'm going to use verse 1, as I said, as a jumping off point, a launching pad tonight. And I'm not going to preach from this chapter, but rather draw your attention to a phrase and bring the message, things that are different are not the same. Now, before I show you the phrase I'm talking about, let me just precede that with these words. I don't know how a Christian could even casually follow the news today and not have high expectations and even high hopes that the coming of Jesus Christ is very imminent, okay? Now, I'm not a date setter, wouldn't be a date setter. I think you get off point if you're a date setter. But if your eyes are open, you see the things that are happening. Folks, Turkey is a surrogate of Iran. That's all Turkey is. And you get all that going on there in the Middle East. And you know, when you want to look to the future, you don't gauge what's happening in Washington, D.C. or London, England, or any of these other capital major cities in the world. You keep your eyes on Jerusalem, what's happening in the Middle East. And so it's just, you know, man, I believe with all my heart that it could be. Now, it may not be. It may not be. Paul thought that. He talked about when we, which are alive and remain. So he was convinced that Jesus was coming in his day. All right? And so, Jesus has already come one time to this planet. We know that. He came as a babe through Bethlehem's manger. He left this world by way of an old rugged cross and, thank God, an empty tomb. Amen. And that's what he did when he came the first time. But he is coming again to this planet. To the planet. Now, the coming of Christ, as you look to the future, is in two phases or two select and individual events, if you will. We know them as the rapture and the revelation. Now, you see these events in verse number 1. Look at it again. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Quick means the living. The dead means the dead spiritually. At his appearing and his kingdom. His appearing and his kingdom. Those are not the same. They are two different things, okay? Now, I said that the coming of Christ in the future is in two phases. We call them the rapture and the revelation. The rapture is his appearing. When he comes at his appearing, he will judge the quick. That's the living. Those of us who are saved and alive spiritually will go through the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, I'm not preaching on this tonight, it is not a judgment on sin or for sin. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of our works. And our works will be judged in that day, not our sin. Our sin was judged in full on the cross of Calvary. It's done, okay? So they're not going to drop a screen down and show all the hidden things of our lives. That's not going to happen. But we are going to be judged according to our works. The things that have been done in our body, good or bad. That's the rapture. That's the appearing. His appearing. If you like to mark your Bible, you can write by those two words, his appearing, rapture. And then it says his kingdom. If you like to mark your Bible, you can write there revelation. Now, in the appearing of Christ at the rapture, he's going to come and stop in the air. Okay? The rapture will take place. That's snatching away. At the revelation, he is going to come all the way to the earth. His feet are going to touch on planet earth. And that mount is going to split right in two, and he's going to walk down the western slope of the Mount of Olives, cross over the brook Kidron, and walk into the eastern gate of the temple that's been closed and will be closed until the king makes his appearing. All right, that's at the revelation. That's a different thing. That's when Jesus comes all the way to the earth. Now, remember, things that are different are not the same. The rapture, his appearing, it's in the air. We're caught up. And then his revelation, he comes all the way to the earth. His feet literally touch on planet earth. Now, they're not the same events, not at all. So there are several things, you know, of course, that they're separated by a 7-year period of time that we know as the tribulation. A time of God's wrath, a time of Jacob's trouble, all right, as God judges this world. Things that are different are not the same. The rapture and the revelation are different events. I want to give you 4 words tonight. As we consider these 4 words, we will see the differences between the rapture and the revelation. The first word is the word creation. The word creation. Now turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, and we'll look at a few verses here in just a moment. When Jesus comes in the rapture, the creation, his creation, this earth, this planet will continue on unchanged. Jesus comes in the air, and the creation, the earth, the created earth, continues on. I'm talking about the continents. I'm talking about the bodies of land. I'm talking about the bodies of water. I'm talking about the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. They all continue unchanged. What do you mean by that? I mean they continue under the same curse that they are under right now. This planet, planet Earth, is cursed. The global warming, climate change, people, environmentalists, animal plant lovers can do everything they want to try to save this old thing, but this planet is cursed. It was cursed at the fall of man. It was cursed in the Garden of Eden when God came. Adam and Eve disobeyed, took of the forbidden fruit. It brought the curse of sin on them personally. It brought the curse of sin on the earth. In fact, the matter is that after the rapture, the earth is going to suffer horrible cataclysmic judgments. Some of them are found in Revelation chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, talking about the seven trumpets, okay? And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were, by the way, this is not symbolic. This is literal. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. But watch this. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. You know what you call that, folks? You call that a bad day for the environmentalists. A bad day for the planet lovers. It's a bad day. A third of the foliage, the plants and the trees, are burned up. Verse number 8, the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Third part of the sea became blood, and the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Third part of the ships were destroyed. Look at verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. One third of the sun's going dark. And the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. What are we talking about here? We're talking about cataclysmic judgments that are going to come upon planet Earth after the rapture takes place. The Earth is, according to Romans chapter 8, God's creation, this planet Earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the curse of sin to be lifted. But that's not going to happen at the rapture. Not going to happen. But what about the revelation? All right, go to Isaiah chapter 11. Go to Isaiah chapter 11 in the Old Testament now. Find the book of Isaiah. And if you're getting familiar with your Bible, you come to Psalms and then go to your right of ways. In chapter 11 of Isaiah's prophecy, and in this chapter, pardon me, beginning in verse number 6, we're going to read about a different scenario. After the revelation, creation is going to go through a tremendous change. A tremendous change. Look at verse number 6, chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. People, that doesn't happen now. The wolf doesn't dwell with the lamb. The wolf eats the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. That's talking about the little goat and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, a little child playing around with a leopard and a wolf and all of that. It doesn't happen nowadays. It doesn't happen. But that's going to happen. Look at verse 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. I remember some years ago, there was a couple who was a member of the church at Elgin. I think it was Greg and Cindy Harris, but I'm not sure. They were on a trip out in Montana at Yellowstone National Park, and there was a group. If you've ever been to Yellowstone, you're driving through the park, and all of a sudden there's a backup of vehicles. That means one thing. There's bear, or there's elk, or there's some wildlife, and people are backing up to see it. So here's a pile of cars backed up, and people, and there's a herd of elk down there. And so they're out there, you know, and everybody's got their cameras and videos out. out. That was actual video cameras, okay, and not a phone. And there, oh, look at them, the little elk, it was the spring of the year, the little cow, a calf elk was there, you know, and they're all watching a little point of timber over here. And all of a sudden, as all that crowd is oohing and aahing over that, those little, the elk and the little cow, little calf elk, out came a grizzly bear, and the herd spooked, and that bear caught up with one of those calves. And I mean, right there in front of living color, in front of everybody. Oh, hiding the eyes of their children and everything. And they horrified. That's how it is right now. It's survival of the fittest. I drive up on Wednesday night after church to teach at Elgin because it's just it's so much. I sleep better in my own bed, but driving up through Chicago now in the morning, if any of you men are having to do that, God help you. I'm telling you, it's gotten horrible. These guys, once in a while, take me to the airport. It's taken us an hour and 40 minutes, sometimes 2 hours, to get to the airport. It's much easier to drive up after church on Wednesday night. And I go to Jason and Hannah's house and see the boys a little bit. So it's a win-win for everything. And so I walked out to go to my truck Thursday morning. And here, excuse me now, okay, I'm going to just, here on the front lawn of their house, right there in that residential neighborhood, was a pile of intestines and fur everywhere. And a pile of intestines. And so I thought, man, the boys will love to see this. And so I went back and I said, Hannah, come out here. And so then the boys, they had, where are the boys? And it was Ian and a couple of the other boys had already gone. And they came out there and, what is that, Paw? And that is guts, boys. That's what that is. And that probably was a rabbit. Look at all this fur. And they're just, But and some animal had maybe a possum or a coon or something. Had caught that rabbit in the middle of the night and destroyed it in the front yard. I mean, it was destroyed. It was destroyed. And that's the way it is right now. But when the revelation comes and when Jesus steps on his 2 feet on planet Earth, the curse of sin, when he sets up his kingdom, the curse of sin is going to be lifted from this earth. And the wolf and the lamb and the bear and the kid, and the Bible continues on here in verse number seven, and the lion shall eat straw. Like the ox, the lion doesn't eat straw now. The lion eats meat. It's all going to change. The sucking child, the little bitty child that's not even weaned yet, shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his head on the cockatrice den. Young people, you're born again Christian. One of these days, after the revelation of Jesus Christ, he comes to set up his kingdom, you're going to be able to play with all kind of wild. Now, until then, stay away from the snakes. Still then, stay away from the lions. Stay away from them. I remember, oh man, this was years ago in the old gymnasium over there. And John Gardner was here. We were having one of those volleyball marathons, 20 hours, I think it was, through the night. And I had come for a portion of it, emphasis on portion. And that's what you have staff for. Hey man, you're doing a 20-hour volleyball marathon. And John caught a snake over there. And I was sitting on them old, remember those old bleachers? Those old plywood bleachers in the old gym. And I was sitting on those things and John was sitting there, and he's playing with this snake, and I mean, he's playing with it, and I'm sitting right next to him and said, John, you better be careful, things going to bite you. He kept playing all around. It went, sure enough, man, that snake got him. It was not poisonous. But one of these days, you may have to play with a snake. Won't bite you. Because the curse is going to be lifted. Now, folks, at the rapture, the intense judgment on the curse of the earth, because of the curse of the earth, intensifies at the revelation that curse is lifted and kids can play with wild animals. Things that are different are not the same. Things that are different are not the same. So when you think of the rapture and revelation, and you think of the word creation, you realize they're two different events because creation continues on under judgment after the rapture, but after the revelation, the curse is lifted. Now, there's a second word tonight, and that word is the word bride. It's the word bride. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's the word bride. And I'm going to wrap this up after a bit with somewhere where I'm going. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's the word bride. You see here Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And he says in verse number 1, if you can find that scripture in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the engagement of the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now people, in this present day, every person who is born again into God's family becomes a part of the bride of Christ. We are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a part of the bride that is to be presented to Him when He comes in the rapture. All New Testament saints, I believe, from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus until now, all of those saved before the rapture are going to make up the bride. I do not believe in a Baptist bride. I believe that other people beside Baptists who are saved make up the bride of Christ. Now, I'm a Baptist by conviction. But I believe that other people who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ in this day and age, become all people who are saved, become a part of the bride of Christ. Now watch it. When Jesus appears in the rapture, He is appearing as a bridegroom to take His bride unto Himself. It's as when the back door is open and the bridegroom is standing here and the bride makes her way down the aisle. The bridegroom is there to take the bride unto Himself. Now you think of the excitement of a wedding. And we got two or three that are planning a wedding for next year. Weddings being planned. And the anticipation on the part of the bridegroom, because he can't wait to take his bride away. And the excitement on the part of the bride. She can't wait to walk arm in arm with him out of the church and go away with her groom. And that's how the rapture will be. Jesus is coming as the bridegroom for the waiting bride. And He is coming to snatch us away and take us to be where He is with Him. And that's what's going to happen at the rapture. And I don't understand it all. I can't wrap my mind around it. But if I understand the words of Jesus Himself, He does not know the day nor the hour when He will be told by the Father, "Son, go get your bride." I love the song, the old song, "Is that wedding music that I hear? The sound of His appearing, appear." I can never remember the words. When I'm up in front of the crowd, but is that wedding music that I hear? Now look, we have events planned in this life that we anticipate and look forward to, and we think, oh my goodness, I want Jesus to come, but wait until we get married, you know. Wait until we can have a wedding. The honest truth of the matter is, no event that you and I have planned on this earth, if it's interrupted by the rapture, we aren't going to worry about it one bit. We won't think anything about it. Our bridegroom is coming for us. Our bridegroom. He's not going to send Gabriel. You girls have stood back there in the foyer and waited for those doors to open. What if the best man was standing here instead of your groom? Huh? You wouldn't think too much of that. No, the bridegroom comes to get the bride. And Gabriel's not coming and Michael's not coming and Paul's not coming. No. Our bridegroom is coming in the air to take his bride away. Now, but what about the revelation? Well, what happens with the bride? Because the bride is involved with the revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Now remember, that rapture is when he comes in the air. That's his appearing. The revelation is when he comes to the earth to set up his kingdom. How is the bride involved at the revelation when he comes to set up his kingdom? Well, at the rapture, Jesus comes for his bride. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Name is called the Word of God." Amen. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Who are those armies? You go to other places in the Revelation, you find out saved people are clothed in white linen, fine and clean. So what does that mean? That means that we are coming with Jesus at the revelation. We're coming with Him. We're coming with Him. Now, He's coming on a white horse, and we're coming upon white horses as well. So if you don't like riding horses, Brother Matthew, if we're close to each other in that army, brother, you'll get to see me ride a horse. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes. We're coming with. At the rapture, Jesus comes for His bride. At the revelation, Jesus comes with His bride. And we're a part of that. And when He comes, He doesn't come to snatch away His bride. No, no, no. He brings His bride with Him. You and I will have the privilege of tagging along with Jesus Christ as He puts down the armies of the earth that are gathered against Him and against His chosen Israel. You say, how is He going to do that? Drop a nuclear bomb? He's going to speak a word. He's going to speak a word. And the same power that brought the worlds into existence with a word, those armies are going to be defeated by the power of the word of His mouth. And you and I are going to be eyewitnesses. And we weren't eyewitnesses when He created the world. Let there be light. Poof. Let there be bodies of water. Poof. Bodies of land. Poof. Let the sun, moon, stop. Poof. We didn't witness that, but brother, I want to tell you something. We're going to witness something pretty powerful. When we come with Him from heaven on those horses at the revelation, when He comes to the earth and puts down the enemies of Christ and the enemies of Israel. All right, so you got creation. Things that are different are not the same. You got the word bride. Two different things. Things that are different are not the same. He comes for His bride. He comes with His bride. Now, third word tonight is the word message. The word message. Look at chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here again, you're going to see that things that are different are not the same. The message of the rapture and the message of the revelation are two different messages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13. He says here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. The word asleep there is reference to death. By the way, child of God, do you see over and over again in the Scripture what God refers to death as for a child of God? Death. God refers to death as sleep. We're not talking about soul sleep. No, 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 no. We're not talking about soul sleep. Soon to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No in between, but that body's going to sleep. Sleep and death. So He's talking here about those who've had loved ones who have died, okay? He says, hey, church member, hey, Christian, in the church at Thessalonica, don't sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And He goes on to talk about the fact that we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, and I can keep reading, but look all the way down at verse number 18. He tells all about the rapture. And then what does He say? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what the message of the rapture is, child of God? Comfort. The message of the rapture is comfort. Paul wrote to them and he said, hey, look, you want to know about your loved one? Here's the message. And I give you the message to comfort you. We are to find comfort in what happens here at the rapture when Jesus comes for His bride. I think you can find comfort in the fact that we're removed. What do you mean by removed? We're removed before that time of tribulation begins. I'm a premillennial, pre-tribulation Bible believer. I don't believe God is going to leave us here for 1 second of the tribulation period. A lot of stuff right now about mid-trib rapture. Mid-trib rapture. A lot of stuff on the internet and written and people with fancy videos. But you get into the book and you do your study, friend. And I believe even pictured in the Old Testament is the fact that God is going. The Bible says that we are kept from the wrath to come. We're delivered from wrath. And that's not just the wrath of hell. That is the wrath of God poured out upon this earth. As soon as the tribulation begins, that wrath, now it gets worse 3.5 years in. I'll grant you. Gets worse. Time of great tribulation. But you check out those first 3.5 years. That's no picnic. That's no picnic. And we're going to be removed from that. Taken away from that. We find comfort in the rapture, the message of the rapture, because we're going to be removed. We find comfort in the message of the rapture because we're going to be released. What are we released from? Thank God. We're released from this body of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. This robe of flesh I will drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. What's that talking about? That's talking about that glorified body. And we're going to drop this old life, this old body of flesh. And in this body of flesh is the law of sin and death. And that law of sin and death is not going to be, we're not going to be released from that, the effects of it, until we're released from this old cursed body. And when He comes in the rapture and we see Him, behold what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us. When we see Jesus, we shall become like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And this old body is going to be changed. 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 No more. You know, and we rejoice in all the physical aspects of no sickness and no cancer and no funeral homes and all that, no doctor visits. But friend, won't it be wonderful to be released from the temptation? Oh, it's a fight sometimes. You ever get weary of the internal fight? Thought about that this morning in the discipleship class, how that Paul said in the book of Galatians that the spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other. There's all that battle, you know, your spouse, and you get a little fretted at your spouse or your kids, and you feel that temper rising up in you, be it mom or dad, and the Spirit of God says, keep it down, keep it down. The flesh is, man, just let it go, let it go. And that internal struggle, we don't show it visibly, but it's in there. Won't it be nice to be released from that? Won't it be nice to be released from the old lust of the flesh? Won't it be nice to be released from the sins that are in our old nature, our old body, that old law of sin and death in us? And we're going to leave all that behind if the rapture's gone. Shoot. That's a message of comfort. It's a message of comfort. There's comfort in being removed. There's comfort in being released. There's comfort in the message of comfort in the rapture when you think of reunion. Reunion. Go see your loved ones again. Amen. You laid that old cancer sick body to the grave this past week. Won't be long, Barb. Won't be long. This is a tough stretch for my mom. My heart goes out to her. It's a tough stretch. My brother went to heaven on the 10th of October 7 years ago. Dad went to heaven this coming Thursday or Friday on the 18th. So in a stretch of 8 days, she relives her son passing and her husband passing. Not an easy time. And then on the 23rd, Cherith was born. I mean, it just gets worse. I mean, I don't know. But so, boy, I shouldn't have said that, man. That's terrible, wasn't it? And I was about to get emotional. I don't want to break down and get emotional, so I had to say something quick. If you hear that, sweetheart, I'm just joking, okay? You mean you didn't want me? But seriously. And so Friday it was drizzly and rainy, and I wrote some messages. We did some work on messages Friday and did some work on midterms Friday for the college. And I told Joyce, we're going to take mom and pick her up. Let's take her somewhere and just get her, just to spend time with her because she's alone. And I know it plays heavy on her heart and delay your son, at age 49, your husband. But, you know, the message of the rapture, there's going to be a reunion. There's going to be a reunion. And I'm looking at faces all over this place, all over, who sent loved ones on ahead. Boy, it'd be a great day, wouldn't it? The Bible says He's going to bring them with Him. Can you imagine that? What's that going to be like, folks? I wouldn't even hardly... It'd be hard to speculate, wouldn't it? And your brother, Brother Lawrence, what a reunion. What a reunion. In the air. When the Lord brings those that have gone before us. And, you know, I'm sure first and foremost what we'll do is we'll see Jesus and we will be captivated by our Lord. That wonderful name those young ladies sang about tonight. But then soon on the heels of that, yeah, there's Paul. Yeah, there's Adam and there's Abraham and Elijah and all those great saints of the Word of God. But I have to believe that before we try to see them, there's going to be dad or mom or child or brother or sister. It'll be a reunion time. Well, it's comforting, isn't it? That's the message of the rapture. The message of the rapture is a message of comfort. But what about the message of the revelation? Well, I'm not going to take the time to turn you back to Revelation chapter 19. But do you remember what the Bible said there when Jesus comes on that white horse? Listen, I'll remind you of what it says. It says there that He comes to judge and make war. Well, I think we ought to be just like Jesus. Jesus is anti-war. You better read your Bible. He's coming at the revelation to make war. And He comes and you get that bloody battle of Armageddon where the Bible says the blood is going to flow in the valley of Megiddo up to the horse's bridle. Now you think about that. What a horrible battle. And then it sets up the thousand-year reign. And then you have the great white throne judgment. And folks, you realize, if I'm correct, if I've studied and read properly, after the revelation, you don't read of any grace or mercy or salvation. It's over. Now, you know what the message of the revelation is? The message of the revelation is judgment. Judgment. The message of the rapture is comfort. The message of the revelation is judgment. Things that are different are, not the same. Now, what a contrast between the rapture and the revelation. When it comes to creation, at the rapture, it continues on under a curse. At the revelation, the curse is lifted. When it comes to the bride of Christ, Jesus comes for us at the rapture, and at the revelation, Jesus comes with us. And when you think about the word message, the message of the rapture is of comfort. The message of the revelation is judgment. Things that are different are not the same. The last word I want to give you tonight is the word order. Order. When you think of the rapture and revelation and the word order, folks, it's clear in the Word of God that the rapture takes place before the revelation. Amen? That's clear. What's the point on that? All right, here's the point. There are a lot of ministries. I say a lot. There are several, I guess. Maybe I don't know all. I'm sure I don't know the scope of it all. But there are several ministries whose focus right now during this day and age is on kingdom building. We want to build a kingdom. We want to build a kingdom. That's not our focus. Because there's something that happens 7 years before that kingdom. And that's the rapture. We're not kingdom builders. We're rescuers. We're rescuers. And that rapture, I mean, you can date the revelation as soon as the rapture takes place. You can figure it out, 7 years. Christ is coming. But that rapture, you can't date. Now, I want you to see this. Look at Acts chapter 1, because this kingdom building is not a new thing. It's been around. People have been interested in the kingdom building as early as the first century. In fact, when Jesus was still on the earth before His ascension. And by the way, that's what they thought. That's what the Jews thought at the very beginning of His ministry. They thought He was coming to set up His kingdom to overthrow the oppressive Roman government and set up His king. Our king is here. They found out He didn't come for that reason. He came to die. Look at chapter 1, verse number 6. This is after His death, burial, and resurrection. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Is it time, Jesus? Is this the time that You restore the kingdom? Okay, we understand that You had to die and You had to be buried and rise again from the dead to provide eternal salvation. But now you finished Your work. Now it's time to set up the kingdom. Verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. I believe that's the second reference to Jesus admitting that even He does not know the exact time of the rapture and when He comes to set up the kingdom 7 years later. Look what He says in verse number 8. Fellas, that's not your focus. That's not your focus in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's our focus. Our focus is not kingdom building. Our focus is witnessing. Our focus, or should be. That's what Jesus told them. Forget about the kingdom. Forget about the kingdom. There's something that's got to take place before the kingdom set up. And that's the rapture. You have no idea when that will take place. So here's your focus, boys. Go spread the word. Waft it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread to nations far and wide. That's the focus. That's the focus. Folks, that's why we have these four Sundays. That's why we have them. We have them to create a little bit of excitement, enthusiasm, and let's get out and let's visit and let's knock and let's invite people. Let's hand people a tract. Because when you think about the rapture and the revelation, the order is important. The rapture comes before the revelation. We're not kingdom building. We don't set up that kingdom. No, sir. That's Christ and His business. Our business is to witness. Our business is to spread the news that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Listen, I can't tell you how grieved. My wife could probably tell you I was grieved all afternoon this morning. I, on purpose, I looked around this morning when I asked if you're sure that you're saved, raise your hand. And I looked where I knew the visitors were sitting, and I counted. There was at least, as I went back over it, they didn't raise their hand. She didn't raise her hand. She didn't raise her hand. She didn't raise her hand. They didn't raise their hand. They didn't raise their hand. And there might have been a couple more. And it grieved me when none of them raised their hand for salvation. I was devastated. I felt such a responsibility. Such a responsibility. You say, what do you want? A number? When have you last heard a number? I was thinking this week, I've been teaching at Providence Baptist College for 21 years. You can ask those boys that have sat in my class if they even know the attendance of Faith Baptist Church. I don't think I've ever mentioned it. Because that's not the issue. It doesn't matter the size of the church. It's the sort. It's the sort. It's what God, it's what Paul told the Corinthian church. What sort of work it is. And our job is to be a witness. And I felt such a responsibility, Lord. And you know, I thought this afternoon, the only thing I know to say is those of you who were used of God to invite those people, you have their ear. And man, I would encourage you, if you can work out some time in the next 10 days or so, get by them, sit down with them over a cup of coffee and say, well, let me ask you a question. You heard on Sunday morning, it's not believing about Jesus, it's believing in Jesus. You heard that. How is it with you? How is it with you? You got their ear. Visit with them. And let's keep going. Our focus is not kingdom building. And most of that is on the charismatic ends of things. And you see the people, you know, trying to raise money by selling scented handkerchiefs or little vials full of the Jordan River water. Wow. And send me $1,000 and I'll send you this vial. And we're going to be kingdom builders. And that's their thrust. We're not kingdom builders. Hey, you know what we're doing? We're in a lifeboat frantically rowing around trying to rescue the ship that's sinking with people on it. Trying to get them off into the boat of salvation. We can't do it. Work is done by the Holy Spirit. Some plant, that's me and you. Some water, that's me and you. God gets them in the boat. God gives the increase. This is why we do it, folks. We don't do this just... You know, I don't know. Nobody said anything to me. I don't know if people are bothered by the fun and the $5 gift card here and the coffee cup, the 50th anniversary cup with the candy in it. If you're bothered, I don't know if anybody's bothered, and it really doesn't bother me if people are bothered. It doesn't bother me. Because this is what we're supposed to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a little motivation and inspiration. Let's stay at it. It's not easy. You know what? It does get wearisome to go and go and go and people promise and people. I had a man this morning, Brother Allen, promised me at what, 8:30? At 8:30, I'll be here at 10 o'clock. Or is it 8 o'clock maybe? He said, right. He said, I'll be here at 10 o'clock. He never showed up. 2 hours. 2 hours. My gracious. And you get weary of that. This is the time, Lord. It's time. This is surely it. Time to set up your kingdom. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Here's your worry. Here's your focus. Get out there and tell everybody you can. And send the gospel message as far as you can send it. That Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Things that are different are not the same, folks. Don't let anybody try to tell you that the rapture and the revelation are the same event. They're two different events separated by 7 years. But there are characteristics of each that show us they are not the same. Creation is not the same. Bride, not the same. Message, not the same. And the order is what's critical for us to pay attention to. We're not kingdom building. We're rescuing. I think the song says something about rescue the perishing, care for the dying. It doesn't say build up the kingdom. It doesn't say that. We must reach them while we can. I'll tell you, I'm done. Here's the thing. Somebody who has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, those folks sitting here this morning, if they are not saved, they heard a crystal clear explanation of being saved. And if they don't get saved before the rapture, they will not have an opportunity to afterward. I don't care what Tim LaHaye says. That book says God's going to send a strong delusion. A strong delusion. And they'll believe a lie. So our opportunity is now. Our opportunity is now. Those of you that are going and trying, God bless you. Those of you that had a visitor this morning and last week, God bless you. And you know what? Maybe out of this, we just need to understand that it's not something that we just do in a 4-week time period. It's something that becomes a habit with us year round. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for hearing this tonight. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Thank you for your word and all that it teaches us. It's truth about the rapture and the revelation, His appearing and His kingdom. Oh, God, please. Help our hearts to be burdened with the fact that all around us are people who are dying, who will die and go to hell, and they will be left behind at the rapture. And if they've heard a clear presentation of the gospel, that'll be it. Lord, it sure makes us homesick for the appearing of Christ when we think about the message of comfort and that you're coming for your bride. But then it ought to burden us when we think about how many are unsaved. And Lord, the saving of souls is your business. It ought to be our great concern, but it is your work. Help us to continue to plant and to water so that you give the increase as you work on hearts. Speak to us tonight. Burden us. Help us to be diligent about this matter, I pray in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here tonight you're not sure that you're saved? If you're not sure that you're saved, just beat a direct path to Brother Mick or Brother Allen and just say, look, I'm tired of playing games. I'm not saved. If you are saved tonight, would you get burdened? Would you continue on? Would you give yourself to God to be a witness in this day and in this hour? Because the order is rapture first, revelation second. We're not kingdom builders. We're rescuers. Song of invitation as the piano and the music begins. You obey the Lord tonight.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now in I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I have of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus.
And that's the message we're supposed to give. Jesus paid it all. It's not in what a person can do. It's what in Christ has done. And may that be our focus in anticipation of His appearing. Our Father, thank You for the time we spent together today within the four walls of this church. And now, Lord, I pray this building, and I pray that You'll help us to go our respective ways as we go. It would be amazing, Lord, to know exactly how many people collectively the members of this assembly come into contact with during the week. Probably be staggering. And help us to be a light and a witness, to carry a track and be focused on this matter of getting the gospel that Jesus saves to the world. Thank You for those that worked hard and had guests this morning. And again, Lord, I carry that on my heart today. I carry that on my heart, oh God, please. To those who listened this morning, I pray that deep conviction would settle on their heart. We'd be privileged to hear that somewhere, somehow, one or more of those folks trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We love You, Lord. Thank You for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.